Welcome to Northern Goal, the football podcast from the Evening Express and Press and Journal. I'm Ryan Crile, and today I'm joined by Paul Third, Jamie Durrant, and Callum Law. How are we, folks?
Terrific.
Good, thanks.
Preparing for the gallows, by the sounds of it.
Right. So there's plenty to discuss this week. Unfortunately, in this little short episode, we're not going to discuss it until we know what the outcome is going to be for the Scottish game, potentially Aberdeen and Celtic's games over the coming week. So what I'll do first of all is I'll update you in case you've been living under a rock on what's happened since we last recorded. So in the middle of last week, it became clear that two Aberdeen players had tested positive for coronavirus and six others would have to self-isolate due to being in close contact with them after the eight of them went out for a meal and then to a bar in Aberdeen city centre. Aberdeen's obviously subject of a local lockdown at the moment because of a spike in coronavirus cases. So Aberdeen's game against St Johnstone the weekend was off and there were plenty of apologies from Dave Cormack, Derek McInnes and the players. Unfortunately, that's not the end of it because it's become clear in the last few hours that Bolingoli of Celtic took a wee unplanned trip to Spain over the last week before Celtic played Kilmarnock and he played in that game. He hasn't quarantined since he's been back from Spain. So it's safe to say that based on the First Minister Nicola Sturgeon's press conference at lunchtime today, she's not best pleased and it looks like Aberdeen's game against Hamilton tomorrow night and their game against Celtic at the weekend could be off. Guys, it's been a bit of a tricky week for Scottish football. I'm sure you share the embarrassment that I felt at various points that despite loads of other leagues seeming to be able to come back during the coronavirus crisis and get on with things, that it's taken Scottish football a couple of weeks to hit the buffers.
We are the Bam Pottery League. There's no other way of putting it. If it comes to how can we make as big a mess of this as possible, it's the old hold my beer, isn't it? It's peak Scottish football in a summer that has been incredible. We've just reached a new low, I think. I don't think anyone will disagree with that sentiment.
No, I can't really disagree with anything that Paul's just said. I mean, it's been a week to forget, really. I mean, starting obviously Aberdeen kind of having their own kind of lockdown restrictions reimposed on them, then subsequently the Dons players and testing positive and whatnot, and now the latest kind of news about Bolingoli, you just wonder how many second chances Scottish football can get just now when kind of rightly other industries and businesses will be kind of aggrieved that they've not been able to kind of get back to doing what they want to do when Scottish football has been given a specific set of guidelines to ensure a safe return and so there can be some form of football in this country. Yet there still seems to be kind of an ignorance or a kind of a lack of understanding of the rules that are in place. And at this stage, I'm struggling to see how there can be a kind of a lack of understanding.
What's, I think, most embarrassing about it is when you put into context the amount of work that has gone on over a number of months to allow for the return of the Premiership. Because each club, as far as I understand, have a COVID-19 policy document that all staff need to be fully aware of and understand the guidelines. Plus, you've got all the guidelines and restrictions from the government, which has really been hammered into the general public every day. So, I mean, with the Aberdeen situation and the Celtic situation, what I find concerning is that the players involved or the people involved, were they just not aware of the guidelines? Is it just ignorance to the guidelines or have they not been properly briefed and do they not understand them? But either way, I think it's a very bad look for Scottish football and the clubs because of that.
If we take the Aberdeen situation first of all, obviously they not only breached the regulations like Bolingoli has also done, the regulations for the public, i.e. if you go away to these foreign countries and come back, you need to quarantine. If you're going out in the town centre like the Dons players did, you can't go out in groups of more than four households. The Dons have also breached a regulation, as is Bolingoli, that was agreed between the SFA, the SPFL and the Scottish Government for football players specifically because they're getting a kind of long leash compared to other sections of society, that they're not going to put themselves in harm's way. They're going to try and maintain that sporting bubble. Do you think, as you said there, Cam, kind of touched upon that clubs surely from the start needed to be a bit more thorough with their players in terms of making sure they knew exactly what they could and couldn't do. I know they're grown men and you've got to trust them to an extent, but there were certain things in Johnny Hayes' comments, for example, over the weekend, that they thought that because they were all training together and getting tested together, that they qualified as one household, that clearly wouldn't be the case. If you put it under the microscope, that players were kind of believing. Do you think that's even more concerning?
That was the thing I was going to pick up on, Ryan. You're saying there about what Johnny Hayes said over the weekend, and we thought this was the case, and it's like, thinking that's okay, but would it not have been, I mean, it's easy to say in hindsight, but would it not have been worth checking that out firstly? And I mean, we've seen stuff about the sort of restrictions that footballers are expected to live under to allow them to play, and it's, somebody said to me this morning actually, that it's almost like being in like lockdown or under curfew again. And maybe it is, maybe they feel it's harsh what they're having to do in that, and the sort of curfew they're under, but at the end of the day, to allow them to play, that's the way it's got to be. So I don't, and Willie Miller actually says in his column today that footballers throughout their career, if you want to play the game at the highest level, you've got to make sacrifices, and now is no different, and that they should be, you know, sticking to the bubbles put in place. And I would agree with him thoroughly on that front as well.
Well, you look at it this way, in effect, if you've got a match day in the Scottish Premiership, you're talking 30 plus households essentially on the pitch, if you include kind of like players and officials and substitutes and whatnot. In any other circumstance, that would be flagrantly against the kind of the government regulations. But because of this specific set of guidelines that are in place, it's been allowed to happen, and happen in a safe environment. If those guidelines are then subsequently breached, how can you argue that it's fine to kind of continue going on with football as it is? Because there are kind of like strict rules on kind of footballers just now in terms of how they can live their lives on and off the park. But that's just a reflection of their position in society and the privileged position that they've got at the minute, that they are able to resume their career of choice when lots of other people aren't.
You're spot on there, Jamie, because the Scottish government's already met with the football authorities this morning, and they're thinking of NHS staff, they're thinking of pubs and restaurants that have been forced to close over this, some shops have gone out of business, and the Scottish government will be acutely aware that the anti-football brigade will be up in arms if special dispensation is given to the game over this. Make no mistake, lads, Scottish football's entering into Dominic Cummins' territory over this last week. And I'm not talking about a trip to Barnard Castle either. Forget a half-hour drive to go and test your eyesight. The players should have been reading the fine print of what they signed up for to get back to playing football, because they're risking everything with what they've done so far.
The other thing I was going to say specifically on the Aberdeen situation, in terms of the sort of, I suppose, the optics, the image that it gives off, not just for the wider public, but specifically for Aberdeen fans as well. And I'm not suggesting that what I'm about to say, that players don't care, but it gives off, when you see what's happened with both the Aberdeen situation and with now Bolly Ballingolly and Lee Griffiths as well having his house party, it gives off the impression that the players don't care. And I mean, if you narrow it down to Aberdeen again, the supporters in particular have stumped up a huge amount of money buying season tickets, buying merchandise, buying DNA memberships to support the club during this pandemic. And then to see that, it sends out the message to them that they've done all this to help the club, and those representing the club don't really care.
Celtic situation has obviously changed a bit today, but I was going to come on here today and say that while the situation is embarrassing for the reasons you just outlined there, Callum, and the games getting taken away from the fans that they could have watched during their boredom of this lockdown, is a shame, that in one sense to me it was actually a good thing that this happened now, because it reminded everyone, including Premiership players, where they stood. Anyone from any walk of life that was outstretching the rules, socialising the ways they shouldn't be, got a very public example of what you should be doing and what you shouldn't be doing. But unfortunately, the volleyball and goalie situation's come out, which has made it even, it's made the situation even worse, obviously. Jamie, I know you want to jump in, but just in terms of what you think should happen, what you think will happen as a result of these things. What's your take on that? Do you expect the season to be suspended, or as Nicholas Sargent suggests, could it just be Aberdeen Celtic games off for a period of time?
Well, I think taking Aberdeen and Celtic out of the kind of circulation, so to speak, for kind of 7 to 10 days is probably a sensible move. And then I think you'd also have to look at kind of Kilmarnock as well, kind of given that Ballingoy played in that game. But then kind of given you've got kind of three teams involved there, you're kind of removing the other three teams that they were due to be playing as well. So you're going to have a wider impact on the fixture list itself. So then it just kind of risked us entering into a little bit of a farce, really, for the next kind of 10 days when you've only got maybe four teams playing or whatever. I think it was clear from the First Minister's comments today that she's fed up of being asked questions about footballers. Obviously, she said what she had to say regarding the Aberdeen players on Friday, and to be fair, didn't miss anybody with the comments that she's made. And then the first three questions of a briefing today were all about Ballingoy and this kind of flagrant breach of the rules. And she's made it clear as well that she's expecting the governing bodies in Scottish football to come up with some sort of punishment of themselves, because at the end of the day, they're supposed to be running the game in this country, and it's ultimately up to them to kind of put some kind of punishment in place to deter players and clubs from breaching these protocols. Because at the end of the day, the First Minister's got a whole country to worry about, not just the actions of kind of 12 football clubs.
I was going to say, Jamie, we've got potential ramifications that's going to go deeper than the Scottish Premiership here in Scottish football. I mean, it's my understanding Celtic are supposed to be playing their Champions League tie against Reykjavik next week in the first round. Now, if Nicola Sturgeon is saying today, don't expect to see Celtic playing in the next week, where's that leaving their participation in the Champions League? I mean, Aberdeen are supposed to play Barry Town or Runavik the week after that at Pittodrie. This is becoming an almighty mess. And if a Scottish government do intervene and say, right, guys, we're shutting you down, where are our clubs playing? What are UEFA not going to be waiting for them?
The thing is as well, Thirdly, I think we've reached a point as well, well, maybe reached that sometime earlier, where I don't think the Scottish government particularly trust the football authorities to run things properly, and I think that's probably given the way things have been handled by the football authorities since the very start of lockdown. Really, I think that's they haven't shown themselves in a particularly good light, and I don't think that really would help them in terms of being able to keep the Scottish government on side and convince them that, you know, the game can continue. I mean, I may be wrong, and it's happened many times before, but just with what we're hearing, I think it's hard to see the season not being paused for some period of time anyway. Because I think, as Jamie sort of said, once you start, you take Aberdeen and Celtic out of it, and then Kilmarnock can't play, and then the knock-on effect, I think you might end up in a situation where it's easier to just pause the whole thing. The other thing on what should happen, which I think's probably been forgotten about as the news continues to move on, but it was my opinion that St Johnstone should have been given the 3 points on Saturday for that game against Aberdeen, because they were punished with their game going off for circumstances completely out with their control. They'd done absolutely nothing wrong, yet they weren't able to play the game. And let's not forget, when it was declared on still on the Thursday night, they were going to be facing an Aberdeen side without the 8 players that were self-isolating and Andy Constein, who was suspended now. We don't know whether the rearranged game for the August 20th will be on or what might happen, but those players that are self-isolating, okay, they won't have had much training, but they will then be available again to face Saints come the rearranged fixture, which I don't think is particularly fair on them. I think they've been harshly treated, and I think they should have been given the points at the weekend.
It's funny you mention that, Callum. I was on the Courier podcast talking football yesterday, and I was asked the same question. Should St Johnstone have been awarded the 3 points? Personally, I don't think they should have, because it was the Scottish government who stopped the game from taking place. It wasn't that Aberdeen were unable to field their team. Aberdeen were ready to play with a weakened side if it came to it. Mm. It was the government who intervened and went, no, that's not happening. We need to look after the St Johnstone guys here, and we can't be sure that everyone who's been around the guys who are now out of that bubble are safe. This also ties in with the Ballingolly incident. Was that fair, what he's done to Celtic? No. Who in turn have affected Kilmarnock potentially out of this without knowing. So it wasn't fair in Kilmarnock either. And if Killie were to go to Dingwall tomorrow night to play Ross County, is that fair on the Staggies? This is the knock-on effect we're now heading into with all of this. Everyone should probably be isolating, because there is a risk to the various bubbles at the other clubs if we keep trying to play on and get games and fixtures fulfilled.
We obviously debated at length whether a suspension was the right way forward this morning. We all had our own opinions on that. If Kilmarnock, Celtic and Aberdeen are all going to be out of action, then maybe a suspension is the best way forward. But I think something has to be said for the fact that there are a lot of other clubs, especially clubs in lower leagues as well, who might suffer a knock-on effect with all this. If there is a full suspension of Scottish football, there's clubs that have sold virtual season tickets. Sky will be due money for games that are not able to be televised. We're back in the realms where another suspension could really threaten the future of some clubs who are finally seeing the light at the end of the tunnel with some money coming in.
Mm-hmm. In terms of the lower leagues, Ryan, and speaking actually to people about it this morning, they're already looking at what's happening in the Premiership and seeing a major problem on the horizon, and one which hasn't really been addressed yet by the football authorities or by the Scottish Government, which is the full-time players with Premiership clubs are operating in this sport and bubble, go to training, go home, and everything is secure. Part-time players, it's impossible to create such a bubble because they all have jobs during the day. So they're, and nothing's really been said about how this is going to work. I mean, even they'd be tested twice a week, but somebody can be tested on a Monday morning, go to work on a Monday, go to work on a Tuesday, and then go to training on a Tuesday night. And they could have tested negative on the Monday morning, but that test's, you know, well out of date by the time they're going training with the rest of the squad. So that's a big problem they're facing, and there doesn't really seem to be many answers to that at the moment.
Okay. If that is all, as I said earlier, we're expecting news on Aberdeen's games against Hamilton and against Celtic later in the afternoon. We'll try and do a full episode once we know the lie of the land tomorrow. But for now, that concludes today's episode. Please email any questions or comments if you've got enough time between now and the announcement coming out to northerngoal@dctmedia.co.uk. Thanks to Paul, Callum and Jamie for joining me today. Thanks, guys.
No worries.
I don't know if I should be grateful. Thanks. I'll say thanks, but I'm sure we'll be back. We'll maybe get to talk about football eventually.
Podcast for you 3 days in a row tomorrow if you do it, Paul. Coming big time.
There's my crown.
Anyway, if you've liked what you heard, please like and subscribe this at your favourite podcast app. And finally, I was going to say enjoy the football, but yeah, just enjoy, I suppose.
Hope you loved the episode. And if you did, we'd be grateful if you could leave us a review or rating on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts. And don't forget to pick up your copies of the Press and Journal and Evening Express every day for the best football writing and analysis in the North.